Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this time. Lord, thank you for each of these ladies that have chosen to spend time to just meditate on your word. I pray you'll bless them for it. Give us wisdom today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we begin a new study. And you saw the books there. And loving God with all of your mind. Very practical study, but one that is very appropriate for our day with all the kinds of distractions that can be in our life and the ways that we can get discouraged. Really, the whole underlying basis for this study comes out of her desire, the author's desire, to deal with the matter of depression, the moods, the discouragements that come in life, and to endeavor to live a consistent life when it comes to thinking right. And you've heard me often say we are what we think. Our whole thought process dominates our emotions, it dominates our it just dominates our actions and everything else. It's a basic reality, but sometimes we forget how important it is to have the right thought patterns. So we want to lay some groundwork for that today. And as you know, in the title of the book, the word mind is there. Now, when we normally think of loving God, we think of loving God with all of your heart. But in the Lord's admonition about loving the Lord, he also uses the word mind. And so that's a very biblical, legitimate theme that she has here, is that your heart and mind, of course, are connected. The spiritual needs to dominate the mental. And you can't love the Lord with all your heart if your mind doesn't love the Lord. I mean, that's pretty obvious. It's sort of a dumb thought. But still, the fact is the mind is the organ, the faculty that God uses for us to be able to truly think right and love the Lord. And so the thing that she deals with here is the fact that darkness can come upon anybody. There can be reasons for it. And we'll touch on some of those as we go along, but there can be physiological reasons. And I always admonish people that come to me for counseling about depression to let's eliminate this. We don't want to blame something other than the issues that may cause depression, but we don't, in other words, we don't want to excuse ourselves. But on the other hand, let's say you have undetected diabetes. That can be a very real problem for emotions. Thyroid issues, that's a very common issue. Ladies, of course, face the different hormonal challenges, and especially a change of life and so forth. Many ladies ignore the warnings to understand what's going on with you. There can be other types of issues. Sometimes medications that you take. I'm not a big one for medications. It needs to be as low level as possible. Sometimes you just have to for your critical health's sake. But if you have to take major medicines, you need to look and see some of the side effects might be emotional suppression. And so that is another thing that you have to ask yourself, is there some contributing factor like that? So as I go through all of this, I'm going to probably keep reminding folks that the physiological issues need to be understood. They could be there. And so you need to understand that. There also is the cyclical issues of the seasons. We are heading into the hardest time for depression between October and December. We now start having the shorter days, and you go into the cold. And so any latent depression issues that a person has begins to mid-October often show itself a little bit more. And it's very interesting. I mean, I've been around this long enough that I know this to be fact. My counseling schedule changes by November. There's just no way around it. And so it does occur into January. Plus, you've got the holiday pressures. And for some people with families and expectations or financial pressures, that can be a big, big issue. So you just need to be aware of some of these patterns. In fact, one of the things that can help you in your life is to get to know yourself. Know your patterns. Know the things that seem to set you off. Things that seem to discourage you, and counteract that in all of the truths you're going to be looking at over these next weeks together. And so it's good to sort of diary yourself a little bit, because you really want to break those patterns. You don't want to keep caving into it, because it's just like any habit. The more you cave into a habit, the deeper a line it has in the brain, and more of a challenge it is to overcome that. By the way, all things can be overcome. That's what's exciting. But you do want to counteract those tendencies and not let those patterns come. And even a day of a week can bring somebody into a kind of fog and darkness. So, and another one, lack of sleep. And if you can't sleep, got to see somebody. If you can't sleep on a regular basis, you need to communicate and figure that out. I mean, you might be having sleep apnea and those types of things. That needs to be corrected. Or you could be having definite emotional issues that are going to get worse and worse if you don't sleep. Everybody listen to me on that? Okay. Or if you know somebody. So if you're not sleeping well, that is a big, big deal. And so that has to be looked at and figured out. And what is the problem that is causing that lack of sleep? Another one, if my wife was here, she would say, you got to stay hydrated. It's amazing how that'll affect your emotions. You know, you don't need any caffeine if you really do drink enough fluids on a regular basis. And it will make a difference. I'm telling you, it's amazing. I'll get sort of, you know, feeling just a little bit, you know, lagging a little bit physically, and, oh yeah, I haven't drunk water for a while, or I got one of these dumb things on my phone that says, you haven't drunk anything for a while. And the trouble is, when you have it too many times, you ignore it. You know, that doesn't make a difference. But I'm telling you, one bottle of water, oh man, life looks great again. And so our body is mainly water, as you know, fluid. And so you got to have that, and it's important. So these things are not the key things we're talking about. And, you know, you can have dear ladies working on their spiritual life, and they've got issues physiologically that it almost makes it more discouraging, because you don't have a baseline of being able to physically even think through the things that we're talking about, okay? So I'd be glad to help anybody if you think, maybe I'm not a doctor, but I've been through a lot with a lot of people. Be glad to try to direct you some different aspects of ways that you can get help. But those are very real matters, and I will continue to remind us about those as we go along, because I don't want you to get discouraged when really some good taking care of yourself might make a lot of difference. By the way, another thing is, as much as possible, an hour before you go to bed, technology off. And don't let technology keep you up. Terrible idea. Does everybody hear me? Okay. Hope there's some conviction here. But you'll sleep a whole lot better and you get more sleep. Millennials are just young adults that are married. It's amazing how late they get to bed, and it's because they cannot turn off their technology, and it's a problem. All right, now getting back to this, latest version of this book that you have was written, some form of depression affects more than 17.5 million Americans each year. So that's a pretty decent percentage of our population. It can affect anyone, regardless of background, though Major depression strikes women twice as much as men. I actually disagree with that. Don't want to disagree with my author right off the bat here, but the statistics show that serious long-term depression is a male problem. More at the moment type depression is a woman's problem. Does that make sense? Men don't realize their depression. Women feel it. And they have it, and so it would be true that women are more cognizant and it affects them more than men, probably twice as much. But men are actually, their whole lives become passive. They're non-players. It's where your man cave thing comes from. And they're not leading. You have female leadership, not male leadership in most homes. Well, a lot of that is depression. So that's, you know, but anyway, I wanted to mention that. And more than one in five Americans can expect some form of depression in their lifetime. Actually, I think it's higher than that. Because of our lifestyle and because of all of the guilt of our day, there are more and more emotional problems. But, all right, let's just lay down some groundwork here today. If you're going to think right as a believer, what would be the first obvious thing that you would think to help get your thought process in line?
Spend it with Christ.
And the Word of God. The Word of God. We heard that last night and how crucial that is to turn to God's Word, to think God's thoughts. Now, as we're going to be seeing over these weeks, it's your choice to think right. Sure, you have things hit you that alter your thinking at the moment, but what you choose to listen to, what you choose to read, relationship you choose to communicate in, and just what you do with your idle mind, that's your choice. And so there's a lot of choices that can be made that can totally alter your thinking. In fact, when you start believing that, you'll be a different person. People who get depressed feel like they're the victim of thoughts they don't want. People who are consistently stable emotionally are people that realize, by the Spirit of God's help, I can control my thoughts. And that's a big, big difference. And that's not as easy as it sounds, but in some ways it is as easy as it sounds. It is a decision of the will. I use the word sometimes, and I think people are a little surprised by it, I say you got to stop luxuriating in your pity party. Well, it's a choice to get down and feel bad about things. In fact, the first steps in depression are your own choice to be there to escape. You don't want to face the pressures, and you start feeling sorry for yourself, and you start, then all of a sudden you start looking at your own problems, and before you know it, you got caught in a net of dark thinking. But you took the steps there. By the way, depression is not when you heard somebody you love died and you're sorrowing. That's not depression. That is just real life response to something that you ought to grieve about. Things that hit you, for instance, all of a sudden an unexpected financial situation comes to put you back. Well, you know, that can throw you for a little bit, but that's not depression. That's, what am I going to do here? Depression is when you start escaping into dark thoughts and you get hopeless. And so there is a thought process between the different catalysts in life that, sure, at the moment they throw us, but what you do with those is what is the key. So if you are steady in the Word of God, you will have tools to help you make the right decisions. Memorizing God's Word, the more you know of God's Word, the more you have it on hand, the more the Holy Spirit can bring it to mind. And so you say, well, I just don't have a program for memorization. There are good ones out. But let me say this. Every verse that means something to you in devotions, write it out. In fact, we've got our little journals, you write it out. And verses that are particularly important for you, and this is what I do, I make a list of all of those verses that God spoke to me about and then memorize them and talk them back to the Lord. without even realizing it, in the ebb and flow of your time with the Lord, you can begin a very powerful memorization program. In fact, you might get a verse, then you realize, I need to memorize that section, because that whole section makes that verse come alive, and so you can meditate. So you're meditating and memorizing all at the same time. For some people, they do well with the whole programs, and I've used those, and those have been greatly helpful. But some people really struggle with that because it's just sort of like a mindless exercise, which is not when it's the Word of God. But at least you could start right now with writing down and systematizing verses that God used in your life. Doesn't that happen during a message? All of a sudden, wow, I hadn't seen that. That really applies. Well, get that thing down. Put it on a card. Start going through those. You'll get continually blessed, and you'll be amazed. You know, it's very easy to memorize a verse that was a blessing to you. It's real simple. You got it within a day or two. You got it. And then tell somebody about it. One of the best ways to memorize something is to articulate it to somebody else. Tell your family. Tell other people. Boy, this verse was a blessing. We talk about share, share, share all the time. Well, part of that is so that you can learn it. One of the greatest privileges I have is I'm speaking all the time. So a lot of what I learn, it sticks because I have to give it. And you'll find that's the same thing for you. But memorizing God's Word provides the tool you have there in the armor of God. The final piece before the prayer armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you're putting that dagger in the hand of the Spirit when you have that right at hand, that verse. And that makes a lot of difference, because when you start going back over a verse, when you're struggling a little bit with your thinking, do you think that'll make a difference? Especially if that verse meant something at the time in the very area you may be struggling in. And all of a sudden you go back over the Word of God, you have His voice in your ear. And then meditating on God's Word, I'm trying to put those two together, because sometimes people just look at the memorizing as an academic function, though you need to be academic about it. Putting them together, meditating on God's Word and memorizing God's Word should go together. It's a natural twin situation. That's why in the hour with God, we would very much encourage you to take a verse, write it out, rewrite it in your own words, take some time, pray about it, talk to God about it, meditate on it, try to think even how you can share it. All of that helps that verse become very, very real to you. Here's one of the things that you may want to just analyze your life. Actually, Dr. Jim last night, and I do highly encourage you, if you were unable to make it Sunday or Monday to the New Life meetings, these are very helpful. And Dr. Jim will be speaking tonight at 7 and then tomorrow night at 7:30. So I would encourage you to come. That's a good way to get God's Word in your mind. But he talked about how that we just live with noise. We don't like to have a moment in which we don't have something. We go into the car, what do? Turn on the radio. We have something on, and some of that can be very good, music, scripture. And by the way, one thing, when you're driving a little bit, you know, those apps just go right through, and you can be listening to scripture in the car. I find that to be extremely helpful. You can get large passages really thought through when you do that. But try to narrow your focus, or to really get a hold of the things that you have as patterns of mindlessness. Because I promise you, mindless escape type issues in your life are going to be tools for Satan to use to bring in wrong thoughts. And so you really need to try to change that pattern. Learn to meditate on God's Word. Have cards with you. Have things that come up maybe on an iPad that you can look at, or have audio going on. Have things that are very much spiritually enhancing to you. so that in those moments where you just sort of want to go mindless, have a means in which you can meditate on the Word of God. You know, just, and a lot of people will read Streams in the Desert. How many of you have that? A few of you. It's a very, very helpful little book. But you know, I encourage you, instead of doing it at your devotions time, have it available there and sit down and read it at lunch. In other words, sort of in the middle of the day. Keep yourself meditating. Keep yourself thinking. And then applying God's Word. The third and the most challenging, she says, is that to master obedience. You see, to memorize Scripture because you were meditating on Scripture and then not to obey Scripture, well, forget it. You're not going to go very far with it. And when your heart is open to the Scripture, that Scripture will come alive and you will really have a whole different thought pattern. I've said it so many times, but when you start reading the Word, you need to say, Lord, whatever it says that I'm, whatever it says that shows that I'm sinning, I will confess that and forsake it. Whatever areas that you want me to do that I'm not doing, I will do that. Whatever pattern in my life that needs to be handled and changed, I will do that. Lord, whatever you show me, whatever relationship problem I have, I will identify that and solve it. If you have that kind of mindset that, yes, Lord, I will obey the Scripture, and if you will pray that before you read it, it'll be life transforming. So it's very important that you actually, that's why, again, the I will statement, you know, those little things we have in the hour with God, those are not just sort of there. That really is the important aspect. This is what God has shown me that I must do, therefore I will do it. And I tell you, it'll encourage your heart. You know, one step of obedience, even if you've found yourself struggling a little bit with darkness, just trusting God, seeing Him work, letting the Word of God come into your heart, it can just change your entire perspective if you take a step of faith. If you have the book, you can see it there. If not, you can turn to Philippians 4:8. And this is a verse that is really underlying this book. And that is in that whole perspective on thinking right that the Apostle Paul has about not being anxious and so forth, being careful for nothing. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, say the final phrase with me, think on these things. Ooh, you know what that tells us? Thinking is your responsibility. You are to think. This is a command from God to think on the right things. Now you have got to, and this is a hard thing to do, you've got to come to that strong conclusion that I am not a victim of thoughts and I can't help it. Now yes, you can get very strong habits of wrong thinking, habits of wrong emotions, but you have the power of the Spirit of God within you that can control your mind if you genuinely want to do that, to obey. And so you have all of these things here that are important aspects. Frankly, anything that's worth thinking about is included in verse 8. Okay? They are wide-ranging categories that you could preach a message on each one. But notice, as she emphasizes, the first word, whatsoever things are true. Okay? Well, do you realize anything that gets you discouraged is not true? You say, no, wait a second, Pastor. What gets me discouraged? That's truth. I mean, that's a bad situation I'm in. Yeah, but how you're thinking about it's not true. Okay, that's the issue. You need to apply truth to your situation so that you think truth thoughts rather than wrong reactions to it. Let me give you an obvious one. You're discouraged about some sin problem in your life. Satan is saying you can't help it, and if you deal with it, you will have problems. Is that false or true? It's false. Okay. Now, truth is, I need to confess and forsake this. And I need to get that right. Maybe you're burdened. Maybe you said something to your spouse that you shouldn't have, and you're thinking, man, if I bring this up, this isn't good, but that obviously bothered them. Well, false is, you know, I'll just stuff that down. Well, it's going to keep you discouraged. Truth is, got to deal with that. And the minute you determine, I'm going to do what is right, and I am going to follow what the Word of God says, to confess it to the Lord, and then forsake it and doing whatever I need to do, all of a sudden freedom comes, you see. So truth about who you are, you know, I'm hopeless. What's the use? I've blown it again, you know. And or these kind of thoughts, nobody loves me. You know, it's just the Lord's forgotten about me. Are all those true or false thoughts? They're all false. So you've got to realize that whatsoever things are true, just that one category, covers an awful lot. And obviously we're going to be looking at angles of wrong thinking when it comes to your own life. And so it's we are to think, make the choice to think on these things. Anybody remember what has been the theme of this entire last year? It was one word, starts with an I, ends with a Y. Identity. All right. What were we trying to do? Get you thinking right about you and God. And it helps, doesn't it? All of a sudden when you realize who you are with Christ and what He's done and how you are in Him, wow, it just changes everything. So thinking right is got to be truth. And then, of course, all of these others, lovely. And all the things that would be biblical right thinking. But true, of course, really does lay it out. And let me just say this. You've got to learn to say, self, quit thinking that. No, it sounds funny. You don't want to say it out loud. You know, but you need to have a little talking to with yourself. Now, that's crazy to think that way. I am not going to do it. It's not true. It's not right. And I refuse to accept it. And though I may struggle a little bit, I am saying, Lord, I want to be removed from that thinking. That is false. And I'm not going to accept it. Did you know that the minute you can identify emotion or a thought process as not being legitimate, you're back to being healthy, even if you got feelings still that are hard to control for a while? A person who is quote-unquote psychotic is the person who believes they're wrong thinking, and it gets extreme. No, there is not a green monster that lives in your house. Okay, I'm giving you an extreme example here, and so you, a person that believes their mind that there's a green monster in their house, is going to be making all kind of wrong decisions. Right now, again, this is sort of a ridiculous thing, but that can happen. So the minute you say, you know, I still look over my shoulder, but I don't believe it. That's ridiculous. That's a way out there issue, but that's what happens. All right. It is really a blessing when you know that the Spirit of God can control every thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so this is not some nice little idea. You say, well, that's for somebody else. You know, I just get caught in my thoughts. I got good news for you. If you'll really follow through as we take these things step by step, you really can, by the Spirit of God, get in control of your thought patterns, and you can actually start a day and not fear. And you're not fearful of even bad news, because you know God will take care of you and that God will help you process that bad news, and you can communicate about it, but you're not going to let yourself go down the wrong pathways. And you've got to know the pathways you go down. And you've got to start identifying those things. And so it's really tragic how many ladies live miserable lives because they're very caught in their patterns of wrong thinking, but it can be overcome. It truly can be overcome, and God can work there. So every day, day by day, and with each passing moment, we think of that song, each day can be a day of victory. And but it's going to come down to really understanding that God will give you the strength. And so you've got to think on these things from God's word, and you've got to hold your thoughts up against God's standards of what is true and what is real. And so we will be looking at that. And by the way, what's the ultimate? Loving God with all your mind. The big problem when you have emotional issues is, who are you thinking about? You. When you really are in a relationship of dependence upon God and love Him, you get freed up. And by the way, if you love God, you're going to start loving others. You get out of yourself. You get out of your little world, and everything begins to change. All right, that was very foundational, but it's the introduction to this book, and certainly encourage, if you want to have the book, I'll follow it fairly closely so that you can. The reason we do that is it helps you keep those truths and helps you when you read it again, you know, because I'll look at it a little bit different way and maybe even disagree at times, but makes it good to interesting, but it'll help you take this away with you.